Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode for the entire duration of today's call. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Gladys Dutrieu. You may begin.
Good morning. I hereby call to order this 17th meeting of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission for the year 2020. As the number of positive cases of COVID-19 continue to increase across Pennsylvania and our country, we ask everyone to stay safe and healthy. At this time, I would like to take a roll call of my fellow commissioners who are joining us on the line, and when I call your name, please say present. Commissioner Ralph Unora.
Present.
Commissioner John Coleman.
Good morning.
And Vice Chairman David Sweet.
Present.
Thank you. A quorum of the commissioners are present. At today's meeting, which is open to the public, the commission will act on various matters. There's no opportunity for the public to address the commission at this public meeting. We do appreciate your patience as we continue to work together in these unique circumstances presented by the pandemic. The PUC office buildings remain closed. However, the commission is fully operational with personnel working remotely. The public meeting motions, statements, and audio also will be available on the commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. The first matter on this morning's agenda is the approval of the minutes for October 29, 2020, and I will call upon Vice Chairman Sweet, who is the editor of the minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've reviewed the minutes of the public meeting of October 29, 2020, and move that they be approved as submitted. Thank you.
You have heard the motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second, Unora.
Second by Commissioner Unora. Any further discussion or edits of the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0. And at this point, I will turn it over to our Secretary, Rosemary Chiavetta, who will be leading us through this morning's agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good morning, Madam Chairman and Commissioners. Your various bureaus and offices have prepared the following agenda for your consideration. Therefore, let us begin on page one with a case of special interest. It is recommended that the Commission conduct a binding poll of the issues to address the exceptions and replies to exceptions filed by the parties in response to the ALJ's recommended decision in the formal complaint of Verizon Pennsylvania and Verizon North versus the Metropolitan Edison Company, the Pennsylvania Electric Company, and the Penn Power Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
So moved, Sweet.
Is there a second?
Second, Unora.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Before we get into the polling, is there any discussion?
Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I do have a joint motion on this matter with you.
Commissioner Coleman.
Thank you. I'd ask that our joint motion be entered into the record as though I read it in its entirety. And before I jump into the joint motion, I just had a couple of quick comments, the first of which is this is a case of first impression, being that this is the first time that we've had a dispute since we have asserted our jurisdiction over poll attachments. And I wanted to just take a moment this morning and to thank our telco team that has done a spectacular job in putting this before us this morning, particularly Matthew Totino from my team who led the effort. I also wanted to thank Judge Cheskis, who I think did a phenomenal job in, again, bringing this matter the first time we've had this type of a dispute before us. And I think he's done an exceptional job in pulling this together this morning. So thank you. Before the commission is a recommended decision and a complaint proceeding filed by Verizon against FirstEnergy related to poll attachments. On November 20, 2019, Verizon filed a formal complaint at the Federal Communication Commission, averring that FirstEnergy had charged unlawful and unreasonable high poll attachment rates. Verizon asked the FCC to require FirstEnergy to charge just and reasonable poll attachment rates and to require a refund for amounts poll attachments overcharged dating back to 2011. In 2019, the Commission formally initiated a rulemaking to assert jurisdiction over poll attachments issued in Pennsylvania. Those rules became binding in Pennsylvania on March 18, 2020, and the FCC on March 23, 2019, issued an order ceding authority to the Commission on poll attachments. The FCC also formally transferred the November 19th Verizon complaint to the Commission, and a recommended decision was issued in this matter on September 15, 2020. The recommended decision sustains the complaint in part and denies it in part. The decision sustains the complaint that FirstEnergy's poll attachment rates for Verizon in Pennsylvania unjust and unreasonable. The recommended decision awards Verizon a refund for poll attachment rates it overpaid to FirstEnergy dating back to March 11th of 2019. However, the decision denies Verizon's request for refunds before that date. Parties filed exceptions and reply to exceptions and responses to the recommended decision. Now, for the binding poll, we generally agree with the ALJ's disposition of the issues set forth in the binding poll, except as discussed in this joint motion. Consequently, we will dispose of the polling sheets consistent with this joint motion. For polling issue 1A, our joint motion proposes to clarify that Verizon, as a complaining party, has the burden of proof and that this burden stays with Verizon and does not shift. Rather, it is the burden of production or going forward with the evidence that can shift in this case. Regarding the burden of production, Section 1.1413, Subsection B of the FCC's poll attachment rules adopted by this commission established that the poll attachment agreements entered into or renewed after March 11, 2019, an incumbent local exchange carrier receives the rebuttable presumption that the FCC's new telecom rate methodology applies. An electric distribution company can then rebut this presumption by providing clear and convincing evidence that the new rates materially advantage the incumbent local exchange carrier over other telecommunication carriers or cable television systems. Thus, for Verizon to receive a benefit for the rebuttable presumption, it must show that the joint use agreement with FirstEnergy were entered into or renewed after March 11, 2019. If Verizon meets this evidentiary burden, the burden of production then shifts to FirstEnergy to produce clear and convincing evidence that Verizon has received material advantage from the agreements. For polling issue 2B, the recommended decision determines that the new telecom rate presumption under the FCC rules applies to the joint use agreements in this proceeding. In making this determination, the ALJ found that the initial terms of each agreement have expired and that agreements have been automatically extended and will continue as evergreen contracts until terminated. Thus, the ALJ found that the agreements were entered into and renewed after the effective date of Section 1.1413, Subsection B. We agree with this disposition. We believe a, quote, renewed, end quote, contract, as the term is used in the relevant FCC rule, includes one that is in evergreen status after March 11, 2019. Upon review, the 10 joint use agreements in this case are evergreen contracts. As evergreen contracts, they were extended indefinitely upon the expiration of original 1 year or 5 year term until terminated by one of the parties, which has not occurred with any of these agreements. Thus, the 10 joint use agreements were evergreen contracts after March 11, 2019, which means the new telecom rate presumption applies in this case. I note that our written joint statement explains in more detail that the findings is consistent and applicable state and federal law, including both commission and FCC precedent. For polling issue 2C, we agree with the recommended decision that FirstEnergy failed to rebut the presumption Verizon is entitled to new poll attachment rates. However, we do not agree with the dictum of the in this decision, which is contrary to the conclusion of the decision that by applying the FCC's new pole attachment rates, we are giving Verizon the benefits of a first-class airline seat at coach prices. Therefore, we reject this statement. For polling issue 2D, the decision notes that Verizon and FirstEnergy raised issues that are not relevant to the key issues in this proceeding. One such issue is Verizon's argument that FirstEnergy has superior bargaining power because of its 3-to-1 pole ownership advantage. The decision then addresses the merits of this issue. However, we see no need to address the merits of this issue because it is not relevant to resolving this particular contractual dispute. For polling issues 3C through 3E, addressing rate inputs and calculations, the recommended decision determines the cost of capital used in determining the new pole attachment rate should be the cost of capital as of March 11, 2019, which is the effective date of the new rate, the effective date of the new rates under this decision. Additionally, the decision recommends a compliance phase to allow a larger investigation to properly determine all inputs for rates under the new telecom formula. Upon review, we propose to adopt Verizon's pole attachment rate inputs to calculate the new telecom rate. We believe the record is sufficient to determine the correct pole attachment rates going forward. The record shows that Verizon relied upon the Commission's quarterly earning report from the second quarter of 2017 to propose a rate of return as the basis for its cost of capital. The Commission's quarterly earning reports are reasonable and, in this case, persuasive vehicle to establish the cost of capital. We also find FirstEnergy's criticisms of Verizon's rate methodology is unfounded, as explained in a written motion. This includes the argument that Verizon used an incorrect rate of return in calculating its rates. Verizon calculated as accurately as possible a rate of return for rental year 2019 based on the most recent data available in the 2016 FirstEnergy base rate cases. In our view, Verizon's rate of return input in this rate formula is reasonable. Also, we do not believe that the compliance period is necessary or relevant here, given the deficiency of the evidentiary record to determine that the correct pole attachment rates and our rejection of FirstEnergy's criticism of Verizon's rate methodology. For polling issues 4B and C, addressing the refund, we agree with the decision to direct the refund to Verizon, but believe the refund should include interest at the legal rate and be prorated from November 20, 2019, which was the date Verizon filed its complaint at the FCC. As such, we propose to establish November 20, 2019 as the effective date on which the new pole attachment rates were applicable under the 10-year evergreen joint use agreements between Verizon and FirstEnergy. Moreover, we previously discussed, we do not agree that a 60-day compliance period is necessary as the parties may apply inputs to result from this joint motion of subsequent opinion in order to develop appropriate rates. I note that our written joint motion explains why we are rejecting several alternative dates for the application for a lower pole attachment rate. For the remaining polling issues that are not specifically addressed in this joint motion, we propose that the Commission adopt the ALJ's disposition of these issues. Therefore, we move that, one, the formal complaint filed by Verizon against FirstEnergy at the above-captioned docket be sustained in part and denied in part consistent with this joint motion. Two, the effective trigger date for applying the new pole attachment rates and calculating refund for past amounts owed to Verizon is November 20, 2019. Three, within 90 days of the entry of the opinion order resulting from this motion, the parties are to determine refund amounts owed to Verizon based on the application of the new pole attachment rates dating back to November 20, 2019. Four, the parties are to revise the respective evergreen contracts at issue in this proceeding to reflect applicability of the new pole attachment rates dating back to November 20th, 2019, and that the Office of Special Assistance prepare an opinion in order consistent with this joint motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. You have heard the reading of the joint motion. Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Second. Oh, excuse me.
Second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 I also will be voting aye. Any There's none opposed. We are all unanimous. So the motion passes 4-0. So on the matter, on the recommendation of staff as amended by the motion, which does away with the polling sheets, just so as a reminder, is there any objection to taking a previous roll call on the matter as amended?
No objection, Coleman.
Hearing no objection, the matter as amended is passed 4-0. And I will turn it back over to our secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Turning to page 2, in matters presented by Director Monahan and the Bureau of Audits, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 2, the Universal Service Fund charge audits for both PECO Electric and PECO Gas companies.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 3 and matters presented by Director Sophie and the Office of Special Assistance. It is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 3, beginning with the application of Transit with Care, LLC, and including both items on page 4, and ending the omnibus with the formal complaint of Stephen and Pamela Goforth versus the Pennsylvania Electric Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
I heard Vice Chairman Sweet. I also heard Commissioner Unora. Commissioner Unora, would you like to second that?
Yes.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 5. It is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the petition of the PECO Energy Company regarding its default service program.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
So moved.
I heard Commissioner Coleman move. I heard also Vice Chairman Sweet. Would you like to second that, Vice Chairman Sweet?
Second, Sweet.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? I do have a statement on the record for this case, which I will read in its entirety. Before the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission for consideration and disposition is the petition of PECO Energy Company for the approval of its default service program. I would like to take this opportunity to commend PECO for its inclusion of long-term contracts within its proposed default service portfolio. Anyone who has followed my votes on default service proceedings will know that the inclusion of long-term contracts or the substantiation of omitting long-term contracts has been a key factor in my review of these proceedings. Here, PECO proposes 4 separate procurements of unbundled solar alternative energy credits in the amount of $4,000 per year over 10 years. Further, the company's plan included 1-year fixed price, 2-year fixed price, hourly priced, and spot priced energy products. Taken together, I believe this portfolio meets the requirements under 2807E of the Public Utility Code. I also would like to highlight PECO's proposed time of use rate design for residential and small commercial customers. The company proposes an optional a time of use design, which remains static all year long. The TOU design includes 3 tiers of rates, the peak from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, super off-peak from midnight to 6 a.m. every day, and off-peak for all other hours. Establishing an effective time of use rates within electric distribution companies' default service programs has been challenging, to say the least. It will be exciting to see how PECO's novel proposal will be received, and I am particularly interested in how electric vehicle owners may utilize this design given the super off-peak rates during the overnight charging hours. So in conclusion, I am pleased to offer my support for these proposals. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0.
Continuing on page 5, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the formal complaint of Verizon Pennsylvania and Verizon North versus MedEd, Penelec, and Penn Power.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
In order, so moved.
Is there a second?
Sweet, second.
Motion by Commissioner Unora, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? I do have comments to place on the record, and I will place them on the record in their entirety. Over a decade ago, in the Broadband National Plan, the FCC noted that pole attachments constitute a considerable impediment to the deployment of broadband networks and services throughout the nation. This dispute centers on the rates that Verizon will pay FirstEnergy to use FirstEnergy's poles to attach the facilities Verizon needs to use to provide voice and advanced broadband services in Pennsylvania. Based on the resolution of this case, Verizon's pole attachment expenses will decrease. The pandemic demonstrates the critical role that broadband plays in Pennsylvania, and it is my hope that Verizon will use a significant portion of the projected savings to augment its planned investment in Pennsylvania. The additional investments from these savings should make broadband more available and affordable throughout Verizon's service territory. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 6, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the application of NEM Group Incorporated.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
In order, second.
Second.
I heard Vice Chairman Sweet move. I heard Unora louder than I heard Commissioner Coleman, so I'll have Commissioner Unora second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0.
Continuing on page 6. It is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both proposed opinions and orders in the joint petition of Verizon Pennsylvania and GC Pivotal LLC, doing business as Global Capacity Incorporated, and continue the omnibus motion on page 7 to include the joint petition of Verizon North and GC Pivotal LLC, doing business as Global Capacity Incorporated.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
I heard
I will second.
Coleman. Okay, Commissioner Coleman moves. Vice Chairman Sweet seconds. Any discussion? Once again, I do have a statement to place on the record. I will read it in its entirety. Before the Commission today are two interconnection agreements seeking Commission approval under the Telecommunications Act of 1996 and our implementation order of TA-96 adopted in 1996. Our implementation order requires that an executed, negotiated interconnection agreement seeking Commission approval be filed no later than 30 days following the close of the negotiation phase or by day 190 following the request for interconnection. I have noted in previous public meetings my concern with carriers that routinely file this type of interconnection agreement late. In this case, we have one provider filing two agreements more than 8 months after the agreements become effective, agreements that were effective in January 2020. I repeat my expressed concern about this ongoing noncompliance with our implementation order. The compliance is important because the availability of these agreements to other competitors is tied to our approval. Delayed approvals impact the ability of competitors to use these agreements under the FCC's pick-and-choose rule. Given these concerns and the fact that these two agreements were effective under our 30-day rule in advance of the COVID-19 crisis in March 2020, I believe that this ongoing noncompliance noted in this and my prior statements should be examined by the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement for further action as deemed appropriate. Any further comments or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 8 and matters presented by Director Diskin and the Bureau of Technical Utility Services, it is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt both items on page 8, beginning with the application of DECA Energy, and continuing the omnibus to include both items on page 9 and include all three items on page 10, ending the omnibus with the security certificate of PPL Electric Utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
In order, so moved.
Is there a second?
Sweet, second.
Motion by Commissioner Unora, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 11 and matters presented by Chief Counsel Hicks and the Law Bureau, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 11, beginning with the Pennsylvania Universal Service Fund annual rate adjustment and ending with the petition for reconsideration of what be doing business as what by.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Sweet, second.
I heard Commissioner Coleman move. I heard Commissioner Unora first, second the motion, and any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 12. It is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order regarding the amended policy statement on diversity at major jurisdictional utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Coleman.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Under discussion, I do have some comments to place on the record, and they are brief, so I will read them in their entirety. Earlier this year, I set a goal of revising the Commission's 25-year-old statement of policy on diversity at major jurisdictional utility companies. Little did I know that the Commission's action of revising and refreshing the policy statement would coincide with a national and worldwide movement for racial equity and a push for diversity in workplaces and institutions. I am pleased to announce that the revisions of the policy statement are completed. The revisions have streamlined the diversity reporting process for the utilities, modernized definitions to make them more inclusive, and highlighted the utilities' contracting practices with diverse vendors. I believe that the visibility given to the topic of diversity at our jurisdictional utilities will only serve to strengthen their community ties and expand utility workforce talent pools in a time of increased employee retirements. I look forward to the next step of this process, which will be the issuance of a notice of proposed rulemaking to codify the policies adopted today. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
And finally, on page 12, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order regarding the Commission's emergency order establishing a supplier door-to-door and in-person marketing moratorium.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion by Commissioner Unora, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a statement.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you. In its petition, NRG asks the Commission to rescind that portion of its continuing moratorium on in-person sales and marketing activities at outdoor public events. NRG's petition cites the relaxed occupancy for outdoor events where NRG might have its sales, which was true at the time of the filing of the petition. However, since that time, the number of people in this Commonwealth testing positive for COVID has skyrocketed, and the Commonwealth is being forced to respond again. By way of example, on Tuesday, 180 Pennsylvanians died of the COVID, which is the most in any single day since May. And just yesterday, CDC Director Robert Redfield said that the next few months are likely to be, quote, the most difficult in the public health history of this nation, close quote. By order issued November 23rd, 2020, many days after this petition was originally filed, the Wolf administration tightened its restrictions on gatherings, reducing outdoor gatherings from 25% to 15% for venues holding 0 to 2,000 people, from 20% to 10% for venues holding between 2,001 and 10,000 people, and from 15% to 5% for venues holding over 10,000. Fairly significant additional restriction. According to the City of Philadelphia's website, the restrictions there are even tighter. Philadelphia has limited outdoor gatherings to 10% of the venue's capacity, and the total number of people may not exceed 2,000 at any outdoor space. No food or beverages may be served in order for people to wear their masks without any interruption whatsoever. With our health experts telling us that community spread is rampant, there seems to be no logical reason to relax our moratorium on in-person sales, even in outdoor events, even if there is diligent attention to the requirements of social distancing and mask wearing. This proposed action seems to me to be moving in the wrong direction, and this is simply not the time. Therefore, I will be voting in the negative on this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Sweet. Any further comments or discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I will also be voting aye. Any opposed?
Opposed. Sweet.
The motion passes 3-1, noting the dissent of Vice Chairman Sweet.
Turning to page 13 and matters presented by Chief ALJ Rainey and the Office of Administrative Law Judge, it is recommended that the Commission adopt ALJ Haas's recommended decision in the application of Aqua Pennsylvania Wastewater to acquire the assets of New Garden Township.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved. Second.
I heard Commissioner okay. So, Commissioner Unora, will you move? Are you going to move?
Yes.
Okay. And Commissioner Coleman, you're going to second.
Yes.
Any discussion on the matter? I do have a statement. I'm on a roll today, guys. And I will ask that my statement be placed into the record, and once again, I will read it in its entirety. The complainant in this case alleges that she did not authorize.
Madam Chairman, I think you're on the next.
I'm on the You're right. I apologize. We're on the Aqua case. Is there any discussion? I don't have any discussion on the Aqua case. Is anyone else that has any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 4-0. I was in a rush. I'm excited. To the next case.
There's nothing wrong with that. Continuing on page 13, it is recommended that the commission adopt ALJ Buckley's initial decision in the complaint of Rosine Pollock versus the Philadelphia Gas Works.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Yanora. Under discussion, I already let the cat out of the bag. There is discussion by me. I ask that my statement be placed upon the record in its entirety. The complainant in this case alleges that she did not authorize Philadelphia Gas Works to place her tenant's account in the Landlord Cooperation Program, or the LCP, and that PGW improperly placed the tenant's utility bill in the complainant's name. The ALJ in this case correctly recognized that this matter is time-barred under Section 3314 of the Public Utility Code. However, I disagree with the ALJ's conclusion that because the LCP is essentially a contract for private services that supplements the public utility services provided by PGW, the Commission has no jurisdiction over the LCP. On the contrary, although a service voluntarily provided to benefit landlords, the LCP's many features, including continuity of service, access to meters, meter maintenance, and leak survey access, are inextricably intertwined with the provision of PGW's utility service. In this case, the complainant argued that PGW improperly made her the ratepayer of record. I believe that it is within this commission's jurisdiction to consider whether PGW's action of enrolling the complainant in a program designed to provide PGW access to its rate-based facilities was consistent with Section 1501 of the Public Utility Code, which requires public utilities to provide reasonable service. That being said, I agree with the dismissal of this matter based on this complainant falling outside of the 3-year statute of limitations for filing a complaint. Any further discussion on this matter? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 14. It is recommended that the Commission adopt the recommended decision of ALJs Long and DeVoe in the proposed tariff supplement filed by the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman,
sweet, so moved.
I heard Commissioner Coleman first. Vice Chairman Sweet, do you want to second that?
Certainly, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion on this case? I do have discussion. I ask that my comments be placed upon the record in their entirety. And I believe I'm reading the entire thing. Before the Commission is the recommended decision of Administrative Law Judges Mary D. Long and Emily I. DeVoe pertaining to the rate case filed by Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority. This proceeding marks another important milestone in the Commission's effort to effectuate Act 64 of 2017. I note the efforts made by our dedicated Commission staff, the Authority, the Office of Consumer Advocate, the Office of Small Business Advocate, and all other active parties in this proceeding for their continued diligence in navigating the challenges associated with incorporating PWSA under our regulatory scheme. The recommended decision in front of the Commission today approves the joint petition for settlement in its entirety. I would like to take the time to highlight some key items in the settlement. While this Commission has established minimum uniform criteria to protect customers during these turbulent times, I continue to support additional measures carefully crafted by individual utilities to help maintain affordable access to life-sustaining utility service. Therefore, I am pleased that the settlement includes provisions to assist low-income customers and those challenged by the COVID-19 pandemic. These provisions include, but are not limited to, the following: waiving reconnection fees for 1 year, targeted outreach to customers with existing arrearages to inform these customers about assistance programs, expanded access to hardship grants, a hardship grant fundraising campaign, implementation of a pilot arrearage forgiveness program, and expanded access and benefits provided under the utilities bill discount program. Further, the settlement proposes to modify the Commission's prescribed plan for moving PWSA into further compliance with Act 64 of the Public Utility Code and the Commission's regulations. Here, the settlement moves the vehicle for establishment of the authority's stormwater tariff from the second compliance stage to its next combined water and wastewater tariff filing. PWSA contends that the consolidating the proceedings in this matter in this manner will give the Commission and interested parties the ability to address stormwater issues, the tariff and proposed rate comprehensively with water and wastewater rates. I note that the Commission staff retains the ability to issue directed questions to the authority before it files its next combined water, wastewater, and stormwater tariff. Further, the Commission may also exercise its prerogative to issue stormwater-related inquiries upon action to suspend any further combined tariff filing. Thank you. Any further comments or discussion on this case? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0.
Madam Chairman, that concludes regular agenda. Turning to the carry-in agenda, on page one of the carry-in, it is recommended by the Law Bureau that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the petition for reconsideration filed by Kirvin W. Martin, doing business as Crystal Clear Merchant Consultants.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Madam Chairman and Commissioners, that concludes all agenda items to be considered today.
Thank you very much. Before we adjourn, I do want to announce, as we normally do in December of each year, the requirements under our Public Utility Code is that the commissioners do annually vote to select who their vice chairman will be for the commission. And in compliance with that requirement under our code, under our statute, the commissioners have elected Vice Chairman David Sweet to serve once again in that capacity for the Commission. So we extend our congratulations to Vice Chairman David Sweet again for his election.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You are welcome. And no other matters coming before us. We do want to thank all of you for joining us for the PUC's public meeting. The public meeting motions, statements, and audio will be available on the Commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. And at this point, I will entertain a motion to adjourn today's meeting.
I move we adjourn. Sweet.
Second.
Is there a motion by Vice Chairman Sweet to adjourn, second by Commissioner Coleman? I'm assuming there's no discussion. All those in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? None. Motion passed 4-0. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.